words, you're thanking God that you can actually give. And man, that's why we rejoice in that. I wanted to tell you though that I've been doing about 10 reasons why the Bible teaches us to tithe. And one of them is to enjoy God's blessing. Now you find that in Malachi chapter 3 and about verse 10, where the Bible says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts." And then it says this, "If I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." How many of you know that's something that I want? How about you? I mean, because when God gives the blessing, it's more than enough. It's not just, you know, paycheck to paycheck. No, it's God honoring his word and then honoring your obedience to give to him. And so that's why we give. When you jump over into Luke's gospel chapter 6 and 38, the Bible says if you'll give, it'll be given unto you with a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto you. So there's something about being in the blessing of God. And listen, y'all, that's why we give. We give because I want to tap into the blessing of the Lord. I want to be able to bless others. I want to be able to get out of debt. Say amen to that. Amen. I want to be, owe no man but to love them, as the word says. So why don't y'all come give with a big old shout of praise in this bucket and that bucket. If you're a visitor, send down your card or bring it up here. Just place it in here. You got it. Amen. No, you can right in the front if you want to. Okay, it's yours.
Hello, my name is Seth Ross, and I'm singing Speak Life by Toby Mac. Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Oh, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our hearts to the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know. To the eyes of the broken heart and watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life, oh, 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 you speak life, oh, 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 oh. Some days the tongue gets twisted. Other days, my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Yo, it's crazy to imagine words from your lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken heart and watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life, oh, 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 you speak life, oh, 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 oh. Lift your head a little higher, spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak love with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak love with the words you say. So speak life through the deadest, darkest night. Speak life when the sun will shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken heart and watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love, you speak. You speak life. Oh, 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 oh. Speak life. Oh, 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 oh. You speak life. Oh, 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 oh. You speak life. Oh, 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 oh. Some days life feels perfect.
Good job, brother. Good job, buddy. Good job. Way to go. Love you. Thank you, Lord. Gonna be taking my job up here, isn't he? That's fine with me. I told him. We was at this party, and at it was when we was roping, and. Everybody was drinking but me and, you know, Seth. And he come and whispered in my ear that, "Dad, you're the only one that's not drinking." I said, "That's right, man. We're going to stand apart." And just to see him get up here, and he wouldn't let me introduce him. I'll introduce myself. And to see him growing and being able to stand up in front of you. Amen. I believe he's called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's, the youth and the kids church, I want to dismiss you guys. Is the youth staying in? The youth is going to stay in here. But the kids church from, I guess, what grade is that? Sixth grade down, whatever. I want to dismiss y'all out the back end with a big old round of applause. You'll have a blast. You'll have fun. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you can stay in here. It don't matter. If you want to go, you'll have fun too. I promise. But you stay in here, you get to hear me preach, man. A lot of times Seth will go, "I want to stay and hear you preach, Dad." So, amen. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. And by the way, let me just see all the Bibles. Thank you. Thank you for bringing your word. Amen. I want to welcome everybody that's watching us live. I've been praying about going live for several years, and we get calls, text messages, the word of people watching us from Iowa, from Florida, from California, from up in the Dakotas, from all over. You know, as I travel, constantly people are asking me, when can we watch you? And so to be able to be live right now is an honor. And if you are watching us, I want you to do just what we're doing here. I want you to get your Bible out. And I want you to be able to receive the engrafted word of God that will change your soulish realm. You see, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we've got to get our mind tapped into thinking like God thinks. That's why we have the word of God. So that we just don't hope to be like him. No, that we need to, as the Apostle Paul says, we need to be like-minded with Christ. We have the mind of Christ. I think too many times people make an excuse that, well, we all fall short of the glory of God and we all sin, we all can't attain this and we're not worthy of that and so on. And I think it's something that then the devil uses to cause us not to come into our full potential. knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're the head and not the tail. Say amen to that, y'all. That we're above and not beneath any situation, any trial and tribulation. Man, we're above it. And I was just raised a little old Southern Baptist boy, and then my dad's mom took me to the Pentecostal church. Whoa! That was different. I mean, and dated this girl that was Church of Christ. Yeah, they can sing, just no instrument, so you better be on key. Went to the Lutheran church with my best friend. Stood up a lot and sat down and spoke some, you know, anybody Lutheran in here or Catholic? You know what I'm saying. Did Methodist revivals all over the country. They used to be shouting Methodist. I don't know if they still shouting, but you know what, though? No matter what, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, then we're in the family. And that's why there's one of everybody at what we call a cowboy church, because all we're really doing, you don't have to be a cowboy or a cowgirl. All we're really doing is bringing back the barn mentality. I'm talking about just preach the word. We don't have to. They asked me to start doing a service at the National Finals Rodeo, and I did it this year as well as last several years at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino, right where that man broke out the windows and shot over 50-plus people, 58 of them, I believe, were killed and more injured. And I ministered into that atmosphere. And I got to thinking that anointing of bringing people, you know, together, it's not about a show, in other words. I mean, because that's what Las Vegas is. It's a big show. I mean, there's lots of lights. There's lots of glamour and things like that. But I don't know about y'all, but I just need the Word of God preached down to earth. I doubt if I preach over your head. I don't need to try to impress you. But what I want to do is I want the Word of God to change you for the better. Therefore, for the next few weeks, I'm going to be dealing with a subject that we've been talking about for years and years. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, we've talked about the end times. I mean, they have told me when I was younger that Jesus is about to come back. And I believe it. I mean, to God, really, His time is not our time. Matter of fact, the Bible says 1,000 years to God is as of a day, and a day is as of 1,000 years to Him. So I mean, we're not talking about if this prophet or this person is right or wrong when he's talking about Jesus coming back pretty quick. I'm just saying that we're going to keep preaching it. And the Word talks about signs of the times. How do we know that Bible is true and Jesus is about to appear? Now, the Bible says it this way, that there'll be a day when an angel shouts out he's an archangel, shouts out like a trumpet. And Jesus then will appear. The dead in Christ will rise. And then all of us that are still here living, that's born again, Jesus is Lord, will then meet Jesus in the air. Well, I believe that day is coming, but we just need to check it out. See what the Spirit of God says about Jesus returning. Now, let me tell you something before I start this message and begin to dig into this stuff over the next few weeks, is that do not let fear come on you. Because it tries to come on usually the younger crowd. I'm not ready to go to heaven. I mean, I haven't gotten married. I haven't had kids. I haven't done this. No. All that stuff does not matter. Really, we got to get our perspective back onto why we're here in the first place. And I'm not here to go rodeo first. I'm not here to be a father or a husband or whatever. No, I'm actually was created to serve Him. And once we understand that, then all the other things will be added unto us, like being an awesome father and an awesome husband, and being able to then have the desires of my heart to go and rodeo or go and do this or that, you see. But we got to understand, really, the reason that we're here is for fellowship. Fellowshipping with God Almighty. And not all the rest of the stuff first. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all the other things will be added unto us. And when you study out the kingdom of God, you find out it simply means God's way of doing things, His kingdom ways. Not just talking about heaven, thank God for that, but it's talking about how we're supposed to live here on earth like heaven. Amen? And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited to know that if we're in the last days, we need to know it. If Jesus is about to return and get you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying the ones that are perfect. I'm just saying if Jesus is the Lord of your life. I gave my life to Him in 1979, May the 10th, at Otis, New Mexico. Otis Baptist Church. My uncle was the pastor. And I walked down the front and I gave my life to Jesus. Now, I've led people to the Lord Jesus in a horse stall. So it doesn't mean you have to come down to the front. It just means you need to, as Romans 10 and 9 says, confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised Him from the dead. Then it says, thou shalt be, say it with me, saved. Born again. And that's why I travel. That's why I'm a pastor of this church. I want to see people born again. I want to see you give your life to Him. Okay, so when the Bible starts talking about believers, you need to put yourself in that category. God is talking to me. When He's talking about the end times, that He's going to come back and get me, He's talking about me. Now, I don't know if the Lord even let me go into after we're called up, start talking about tribulation. But I do want you to know that we're only gone for 1,000 years. Is anybody out there? It's like, I've never heard that before, sir. That's because we haven't preached the Word of God. Why don't we just go ahead and preach what the Word says? That when we are called up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air, and when we go to heaven, there'll be a tribulation time. I don't believe in the post-tribulation. I don't believe in the mid-tribulation. I believe that I'm gone before it starts. I don't want to be here. And then we're only gone 7 years, and then we come back for 1,000-year reign. We get to be here without sin. Really? I just thought you'd give your heart to Jesus and be like Him. And I don't know why some of our ministers have stopped preaching on the end times, but the Lord told me to do it, and I'm going to do it. Do y'all mind? Well, if you mind, who cares? You got to sit there anyway, sucker. Thank you, Lord. Now, at Cowboy Church, we're just saying it, just be real. I've always told so many people, when I went to eat lunch at the governor's mansion with the governor, and there was only a few of us, and you know me. I mean, why you got to be all different when you go and besides the respect of the governor, and I understand that, but, I mean, just be who you are. In other words, when you pray, you don't have to change your voices and say these thous and thuses so God can hear you. No, just pray. Kind of just like you talk. I always just say, leave out the cuss words. Amen? Just talk to Him. Lord, I need some help here. Father, just thank You for being my God. Amen. Let's get into the end times. What does the Bible say about the end times? 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to stay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start in the very first verse. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Remember, Just if you've never heard this before, the way you find some of these books of the Bible, like Timothy, all the T's of the Bible are together. Thessalonians, Titus, Timothy. I mean, you'll find all of them together. So if you find one T, you know you're pretty close. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Say oh me if you're still looking. Is there anybody? Good job. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, Know also in the King James. I like the Amplified version. I got it beside me. So if I need some help, I'll go to it. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, whatever that word is, what is it, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heavy or heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch, at Lysanium, Lystra, which persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord, I like this part, delivered me. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's the last scripture. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now that's the whole, I could preach on the very first couple of verses for hours. But I wanted to read all of it for a reason, because the very last scripture of chapter 3 helps us understand that all that is written in this Bible is inspired by God. It's for a reason. Now, I wanted to also read the whole chapter, because if we're in the last days, we need the evidence of it. And so we're going to start digging in. And by the way, I believe we are. I believe we're in the last days. Some scholars are saying things like, wow, how can God tarry this long? It seems like prophetically, I mean, and by the way, this is not a scary message. This is, man, I'm ready. I want to understand, why are all these things happening? Why is there more divorce in the church than in the world? Or at least it's equal from what they say. All the studies. Why are people dying at an early age? I'm talking good people. People that's been serving the Lord for years and years, why are they dying of disease and sickness and cancers and things like that? Why are there, what the very first verse says, why are there perilous times? I begin to study all these things out, starting in verse 3. Know this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I'm going to dissect these verses. And I want to start it this way, and I'll backtrack to the word know. But I want to start off with the last days to help all of us start understanding that I believe we're in the last days, which again is we're not supposed to do anything different. We're supposed to just continue to live. We're continue to live by faith. We're not supposed to change anything in the way we're supposed to live. I mean, you don't do anything different, but you want to look up because your redemption draws nigh. You want to start understanding that if we're in the last days, why? And what does the Bible say about that? Well, as I studied it out, the last days is a Greek word, eschatos. And it's a Greek word that points to the ultimate end. This is literally what it means, the ultimate end of a thing, such as the last month of a year, the last week of a month, the last day of a week, or the very extreme end of an age. In other words, we have to understand that if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and He's the one that wants us to read these words and understand why did He put these words in there, then we need to look them up and figure out why. Why is He talking about the last days, and what does this reference of the last days actually mean? And again, it means things like the very extreme end of an age. It also signifies something that's final. This Greek word, eschatos, is where we get the term eschatology, which is the theological term for the study of the last times. Therefore, the depictions in the following verses, when we read them in 2 Timothy chapter 3, are intended to be signposts. They're intended to show us some things about what we're entering into, and I believe that we're entering into the final stage, or the final stage of the last days, see. And man, I want y'all to know that that's the reason a lot of things are happening in people's lives. That's why we're seeing trials and tribulations. Now, the good news is count it all joy, because we're all saved. Amen? I mean, we have the authority to use the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. So we don't have to be afraid about any of this. But thank God someone needs to start teaching about the end times, so that as a pastor, I can make sure the flock is ready. I want you ready. I want you to know the signs of the times. I want you to understand and recognize that, oh, that devil's just trying to destroy my marriage so that he can get a foothold in there, because he knows that there's power in that agreement when people are married. I mean, when you two agree on something, oh man, that's some power. Now, you don't want to have a marriage like this, right? I mean, you want it this way. That way nothing can get in between that marriage, because again, if the enemy, and that's when I marry people and use a ceremony that literally says if anybody could break up a marriage, it would be Satan. And this ceremony says, so give him no place. I mean, give the devil no place. And that's why a marriage needs to be, I mean, so solid. And it really is designed that way, to be so solid that nothing can break it up. Because again, when two or three agree is touching anything, oh man, there's power. Okay, then when people do go through that terrible thing of divorce, thank God for grace and mercy. Amen. Thank God that we don't have to be full of guilt and condemnation, and We just need to understand that there's going to be some perilous times. We're in what the Word calls the last days. So as a committed Christian, we have a responsibility to live with our eyes open. I mean, we need to understand this. And we need to be open that there's going to be events that are occurring all around us. I mean, why is there earthquakes? Why is there wars that are going on right now? Well, it's because we're in the end times. Again, why is people going through the trials and tribulations? Okay, so the last days, that's actually what that means, that the last days literally means the study of the end times. And that's the reason. And by the way, I'm not afraid as a pastor to just preach this word. I'm telling you, there's churches all over this country that will not preach something that's controversial, like marriage being between a man and a woman. Anybody out there? Y'all realize that, I mean, that's what God intended marriage to be. And I'm not afraid. Doesn't matter. I mean, the judge, Judge Stout is, where are you? Is she still here? She at the back. She's going for re-election, and I don't know about y'all, but I want a Christian judge. I mean, and so in Williamson County, we need to make sure a Christian judge is re-elected, and she's been it for so many years. I don't believe she'll have any trouble, but we just got to keep believing in things like that. And Bart and so on, going for commissioner, county commissioner, and thank God for it. Although, you know, there are people in office that are already Christians, and thank God for that. So, anyway, so I said, put a sign out there. And the judge says, oh, that might look like the church is, you know, is going for me. I said, we are. We are. But now I understand where she was going with it, because, you know, we could be in fear of losing our nonprofit status. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not in fear of it. Because it doesn't matter if we have a 501c3 or an SS4 form. It doesn't matter what we have. As long as we meet as a congregation, we're under the laws of a church. So I'm not afraid of losing anything. Amen. But I am going to preach this word. And I want people to know that if we're in the end times, what does the Bible say about that? Okay, well, really, if you back up to the very first part of chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this know also. Well, I looked up that phrase, this know. You know what it means? Knowledge. In other words, this message is so critical. That's what this word means. This message is so critical that it must be known. It must be acknowledged. In other words, whatever the Holy Spirit is about to say, it is so important that hearing it is not optional. It must be known and understood. That's exactly what this, that's why the apostle Paul, when he was writing this to Timothy, that's why he said the things that he said. Know this, or in the King James, this know. You've got to have knowledge of this. That's why I'm trying to get people, don't miss church. Don't get tired. Rebuke the flu. Dang devil, I tell you. Seth, that's why I'm so proud of him, because yesterday morning he woke up. Oh, my. I thought, what was that noise? I thought there was an elephant in the house making some noise. And his throat was so, I don't know if it was in his chest, but man, it sounded terrible, just that cough. And so I went and prayed over him, and then he had a basketball game at 1. Well, there's that temptation. Do we let him play? Is it going to be worse? Well, I had to say, no, we prayed. But I was concerned as a father, you know, parent. But he went and played, and man, he played good. Made a couple of baskets. But then at the end of it, he was so drained and tired. And he didn't have much voice. But, man, he wanted to sing. He wanted to sing for his teachers. And I was just so proud of him that he got up and by faith, even though his voice might have not been perfect, he wanted to sing, man. Amen? Well, listen. Knowing these things is so important that when the Spirit of God begins to say something, I want to hear it. I want to listen, man. And I'm telling you right now, in every single section here, the Spirit of God wants to say something to you. Not just corporately, like is happening right now, but He wants to say something to you individually. He wants to begin to communicate to you like He wants to, but because of the devil and sin and things like that, we think that we're not worthy of God talking to us. And that's further from the truth. God wants to speak to you individually. Now, if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Because He will. I mean, all you got to do is just spend some time with Him. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a closet prayer. I don't know if Doris or you like to get in the closet and pray. There are people that love to get in the closet and pray. I mean, who loves to do that? There's a lot of people that loves to do that. Don't be afraid. Not me, though. I don't like to be in the closet. You know why? I start thinking of hamburgers. I don't know. I mean, I do. I start praying, and before you know it, I'm thinking of French fries. I'm hungry. Here's a side. This is a rabbit trail. You know, most preachers have like three rabbit trails. Here's one of them. It's biblical somewhere. So I was going to fast, right? I felt like the Lord said to fast. How many of you have ever fasted before? Let me see your hand. Come on. A lot of people. Not in this section. What's wrong with y'all? Did none of y'all fast? I mean, well, I decided to fast one time, and you know, you're supposed to be fasting from food or whatever. And so I said, okay, I need to hear from God. It was before I was married. I was just in the ministry, and I needed to know, where do you want me to head off to, Lord? And so I started fasting. And I started like in the night before, you know, while you're asleep. Amen. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I started like at 12 the night before. I'm going to fast. So I made it that morning. Man, I got up that morning. I was hungry. But I'm fasting. I had a little water, nothing else. No food. I got to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I started liking things I have hated all my life. I started saying, you know what? Broccoli? Come on. I get to about 5 o'clock and I'm thinking, how do you like this? Spinach. I started liking spinach. I mean, I don't care. I finally made it till midnight. I think I ate 3 cheeseburgers and I just wasn't a big faster. Well, it's the same with prayer. I don't, you know, I pray on the go. I mean, I pray in the car, you know, I'm praying for different things, but sometimes people just love to just pray. Well, I don't know about you, but that's what we really need to be doing in these last days and staying in constant prayer, because when you spend time with the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, He will speak to you. And I'm not saying He didn't speak to me in those 24 hours of a fast. Some people do it for a lot longer than that. But I need to hear from God in my life, in our ministry, in this church, in my family. I need to hear from Him, because if the Holy Spirit is speaking, I want to hear it. And I've got to get in a way where I can actually hear it with all the other junk out of the way. So here, the Apostle Paul is saying, know this, have some knowledge of it, man. And then he goes on to say, we've already talked about the last days that we believe we're in. the last of the last, that there'll be perilous times that will come. The word perilous, and this is really probably where I'm going to have to end it on this perilous, but we'll go through a lot of these. Because listen, you need to be convinced that we're in the last times, and some of the things that are going on around you should help you get some knowledge of, okay, I see that. I'm watching this so that we can all be in agreement that if we're in the last days, then we need to maybe start getting more people born again. We need to start getting people more spiritually matured instead of being like babies, just drinking the milk. No, I don't want to be a baby. I want to drink the milk, but I also want to get the meat of the Word of God. I want to grow up, in other words, and that's what we need to do. Amen. Perilous times shall come. The word perilous is a word that is only used two times in the New Testament. Two times in the 27 books of the New Testament. This word, when you study it out, was a word that denotes spoken words that were hurtful. We're talking about perilous times. These words that were hurtful, harsh. And think about it. If you see these, or if you have a tendency to be like this, then we need to change. Or we need to recognize and have some knowledge that we're in the last days. Perilous literally denotes spoken words that were hurtful, harsh, cruel, ruthless, cunning, wounding, and therefore hard to bear. It also describes animals that were vicious, ferocious, fierce, unruly, uncontrollable, unpredictable, and dangerous. The only other time that the Bible uses this word perilous is in Matthew chapter 8. I want you to flip over there real fast. And, you know, since we're really leaving 2 Timothy, and I'm going to close on this, just turn to Matthew chapter 8 and let's just read what it says about this word perilous. But it doesn't use the word perilous per se, but it's pretty interesting because the Bible says in verse 28 of chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes or whatever that word is. I kind of like words like John and Bob. Anyway, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. That's the word I want you to see. Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. So here in Matthew, the Bible is talking about two demon-possessed men that were exceeding fierce. These are the same words, perilous and exceeding fierce. The same Greek word, which conveys that they were vicious, these two demon-possessed people. Fierce, ferocious, unruly, uncontrollable, unpredictable, and dangerous. The exact same word as perilous. Now here, the Bible is telling us that know this or this know, then in the last days, perilous times will come. And you're just going to have to be convinced that those kind of things, the hurtful, the harsh, the cruel, the ruthless, cunning, wounding, hard to bear, man, they're all around us. I mean, people are blowing us up. Christians. They are persecuting Christians more today than ever before. So my question this morning is, are we in the last days? Now here's something I want you to know, though, and I'll close on this. Those perilous, harsh, unpredictable, unruly times, they represent no threat to you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, say amen louder than that. Amen. They represent no threat to us that are in Jesus Christ because we have authority over all those things. In other words, I don't have to be unruly. I don't have to be harsh. I don't have to be unpredictable. I don't have to be mean. No, I just have to operate who I am in Christ Jesus. No, I am born again. Jesus is the Lord of my life. I have ultimate love, thank God. When I mess up, I say, God, forgive me. And not only does God forgive me, he throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. I don't know about you, but I need that in my life. I need to know that all the junk that is going around, the perilous times, doesn't have to affect me, not as a believer in Jesus Christ, because I have the authority over that. I don't have to wake up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't have to be underneath. Nuh-uh. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. And so are you, y'all. We just have to understand that the reason these things are happening is we're in the last days. Don't be afraid of that, though. I mean, get excited that Jesus is going to appear, because we won't have all the hurtful things that our kids go through. We won't have the addictions that people struggle with every day. We won't have a devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. No, we've got a Jesus that gave us life and more abundant life. And ladies and gentlemen, even though we're talking about the end times, we are exempt from all the perilous times because of Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of us. Amen. Got kind of excited right there. So be encouraged this morning. Just understand that we're in these times. Don't be afraid of it. Be excited. Man, kids can go to school, man, happy that Jesus is their Lord. All us grown-up folk, we can be happy that when Jesus gave his life for us, that we're not under the old curse, the old law. No, we're under grace. And we're under mercy, thank God for that. And we're under forgiveness. But it all starts through Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about these end time stuff. And we're not going to be afraid about it. We're going to talk about it, and why are we in these kind of times? Well, let's be real, man. The things of the Word, the things in this Bible are still coming to pass that the prophet Isaiah spoke about years and years ago. They're coming to pass today. Scientists that have been trying to disprove this Bible cannot, because it keeps coming to pass. This is the only book that they hate it. The ungodly hate it. But it keeps coming to pass in our lives if we would just dare to believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this word. How about you? I believe it. And I believe that it's good for us in Jesus' name. Hey, man, did you have a good time this morning? So we're going to get into it, and I'm excited about it. Father, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for just teaching us the word. We need to learn it. We need to know about these times that we're in. Why are things happening? Why is it rough for some people? It is great for others. Why is some finances in people's lives prosperous and some aren't? Father, so help us in these messages. Just know that, man, we don't have to be afraid. We have you. Thank God. We have joy. We have peace. We get to be a blessing to other people, and in the midst of it, get blessed. So, Father, thank you, Lord. And I just declare right now, sir, that if there's one person here that's not born again, that doesn't know Jesus, I ask you to begin to draw them and their heart to you right now in Jesus' mighty name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a minute, I want to ask you a question. I would never leave a service. Doesn't matter where I'm at, all over the country or right here at our church. I would never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. I want you to give your life to him. Is he your Lord? In other words, if you died and left this earth, you just don't stop. If you're saved and Jesus is the Lord of your life, you get to go to heaven. And that's where I want you to go. I want you to give your life to him. I don't want you to go to that other place that preachers don't talk about called hell. It's terrible. No, I want you to go to heaven. But in order to go to heaven, you have to receive Jesus as Lord. Most of you know that Romans 10 and 9 that we confessed and quoted earlier tells us to confess Jesus with our mouth. And when you pray it, believe it. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you need to know right now that Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Matter of fact, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says. So I just want you to give your life to him if you haven't. And so I'm just asking anybody that's listening to me or that's in this service, is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's not, I want you to make him Lord right now by praying a prayer with me. That's all you're doing. You're asking Jesus to come into your life if you haven't. But as you know, believers are going to pray this prayer with you. And if you're born again and Jesus is your Lord and you know it, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. And you're just going to be praying it with somebody around you. Plus, you need to learn this prayer. The people that won't come to church, period, you can lead them to Jesus by knowing how to do that. So if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to pray and ask him in to be the Lord of your life. And just I'll pray the prayer and you just pray it after me. And when you pray it, mean it. Pray it out loud. And believers in here, would you pray it with us as well? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, thank you for dying just for me. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And Jesus is my Lord, my friend, my Savior. I love you, Lord. Before we lift our heads and say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand straight up and say, that was me. I gave my life to you, Lord. I meant that prayer. And then just put it right back down. Would you do that with boldness? All you're declaring in front of a man, the Bible says, if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. So don't ever be afraid to let people know you gave your life to Jesus. If you just gave your life to Jesus, when I say three, get your hand up and then just put it right back down. Ready? With every bit of boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate that. Really do. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? You gave your life to Jesus. You can go over there. Yeah, Bob, just go over there. I just want to give you a Bible. So honored that you raised your hand. All the rest of you, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your heads bowed just for 1 second. Just want to give you a Bible. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. I love it when people get saved. There's always, it's amazing, y'all. I don't know. The anointing that we started this church in is, as y'all know, I'm very evangelistic. That's why I still travel everywhere and pastor this church, very evangelistic. I know some pastors that are teachers, and that's just their anointing, they teach. And I know some that are very prophetic and very apostolic and so on. And so I love it when people give their lives to the Lord, but listen to me. Now, if you just gave your life to Jesus, start learning who you are, and that's why you come to church. And start finding out, what does this Bible say about me? We have a Bible study on Tuesday night that helps people understand who they are in Christ. That's why we get taught. And that's a place where you can say, hey, what does that mean? You know, in this setting, it would be out of order if someone said, what? What'd you say, preacher? You know. But in Bible study, that's a great place to say, hey, I just don't understand this part. And we'll be able to teach it. So at 6:30 is when we meet. The only announcements before we're dismissed that I have.